We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Another episode of the Dino Talk Podcast.
Boom. Dino Talk gang is back. We're going to talk the first 3 weeks of the season. We're starting week four. We're actually filming this during the second half of the Cowboys-Giants Thursday night football game. And yeah, we have a lot of football to discuss, but I want to start this one out firing with a question, guys. How many wide receivers, if any, would you take right now over Malik Nabers in Dynasty? How many? Because
I'm still taking Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
I personally am still probably going Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. Is it getting tougher?
CD Lamb?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I think as of right now, I'm taking him over Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's the one. That's the question.
I'm still on the same. I still have them like on the same tier. Okay. I haven't seen enough from Marvin Harrison yet.
Same tier, but you're in a dynasty startup draft. Pick 109.
Yeah.
It's Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. Every other person you can think of, screw it, you're at the 112. Everybody's gone. Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr., which one you picking, Logan?
I mean, I'm going to take Malik Nabers probably just because he actually has a shot at breaking Michael Thomas's reception record, which is insane. The only problem, though, is like the explosive play rate that Marvin Harrison Jr. can provide. Like what he had in the first half, whatever game that was, where he had two touchdowns, like 150 yards, like that's just insane. And like he has to compete against who? Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch. Like Wandale Robinson, while healthy, actually looks like he's going to be a fiend.
Oh yeah,
because they're scheming both of them up for high volume, like yak plays. So like they're actually doing what they're supposed to. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the biggest thing with young receivers, we always say, is just like, oh, just wait till they get a quarterback. Just wait till Garrett Wilson gets a quarterback. Just wait till Chris Olave gets a quarterback. Malik Nabers doesn't have a quarterback, and he's still an elite receiver. He's wide receiver one entering week four. And I thought, okay, it's possible maybe it's been a fluke. But we're now into week four, and he has 11 catches for 111 yards and should have more, if not for penalties. Like, the guy's just a star. Like, I don't know. Go ahead, Logan.
Well, CD, I didn't like the point that you were saying about Malik Nabers with the quarterback, because that's why I'm taking him over Marvin Harrison Jr. is because as of now, like, I mean, yeah, we know that Marvin Harrison can do it for, you know, a quarter, you know, a half with a good quarterback. But, I mean, Nabers is doing this with, you know, Danny Dimes.
Okay, so I've got 2 points here, actually. I got to stop saying actually, but Daniel Jones is – being proficient enough in their scheme to be exactly what they need. I don't think that he's playing bad. He's getting the ball out quick. So it's like really good. His arm has looked terrible in this Dallas game. Any deep pass he's thrown to Slayton has looked terrible. He had a really good ball to Tyrone Tracy, but it was called back from one of the 30 penalties that's happened in this game. But another receiver that I would like to mention is, would you guys not take CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, that's one Jesse mentioned.
It's crazy that it's in the conversation.
Yeah. Like, I'm not definite on it. On it, proceed. Like,
if you stack up 2024 picks in Dynasty, you're competing this year. You know, I mean, like, these rookies, and your team is now a Dynasty. I mean, like, these rookies are insane. I mean, just that they're even on the same level as CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah, the only concern I have with Malik Nabers right now, I haven't been able to watch all of his tape, sadly, because I haven't been able to watch too much football this year so far. But he had about like three hits he took this game that I thought had a underlying problem that hopefully isn't a big thing. One was the inside slant he did against Trayvon Diggs, where he contorted his body to when he was getting hit, and he ended up landing on his neck pretty weird. And he got up slow from that one. Another one was a little dump-off pass to the right, and he just got absolutely killed. Got up slow from that one, too. And this is already after he's caught, like, 10 balls. So I'm just wondering, is this volume going to take a toll on him? Because they're not just, like, wide open. They are wide open, but he's still taking some pretty good hits on a lot of these. So it's just, like, is that going to bite him in the end or not?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that being the case, but I feel like that's something you deal with Jamar Chase too. Like, he's a pretty physical, like, good run after catch guy. So he takes hits and he misses some time periodically. But I feel like when you have a talent like Nabers, I feel like you'll just want him. Even if he misses a game or two a season, I'm sorry for Jesse's points per game, but like, I'd take that. Like, I'd take Malik Nabers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't disagree with you there. And it's not like in every circumstance, that's the best way to look at things. But sometimes I do think that, you know, guys like Christian Kirk get undervalued who you know, are consistently their title locking. We've had this discussion before.
True. But, I just wanted to, just because we're doing it during the game, I wanted to bring that up to start. But we also kind of wanted to talk some trade talk. I actually just completed a trade in a 1QB 10-team dynasty league, and Jesse's been giving me some crap for it. I'm 3-0. So far, I'm pretty far and away the best team in that I'm leading in scoring by quite a bit, 3-0. And I think I've led the league in scoring each of the 3 weeks. If, like, maybe one of the weeks I've finished second, not sure. But I have Mark Andrews at tight end. And I feel like I have decent depth. But I traded Jordan Mason and Rashid Shaheed for Jake Ferguson. And Jesse and I have talked a decent amount about it, Logan, like, but I'll toss it to you to start. Like, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, I was hoping that you guys had a little stuff to say about it, just because I was trying to find some stats to look at here. I personally,
well, I can tell you what I say about it from a Jesse. Strategic standpoint. You know, he said he has depth. He has depth at receiver. This Jordan Mason is his RB2. His backup RB2 would be Javonte Williams. This isn't a 1QB 10-team league, people. Like, you can't be playing RB40 at RB2 and be saying you're the best team, you know, and especially whenever you're replacing Mark Andrews with Jake Ferguson. Like, that's what you're losing and gaining, is you're losing. And on top of it all, he's giving this Jordan Mason to the number two team who has Christian McCaffrey. So he literally gave him his best competition, the best substitute to his best player. And I don't know. In my opinion, it was a horrible move, and it's like hilarious. In fact, he asked. I will admit there was a little bit of me being funny in the way of he asked me if he should send that, and I said, "LOL, yeah, go ahead, send it over." And then next thing I know, I see completed trade, and I was like, "Oh wow, he actually sent it over." And like I predicted, the number two team smash accepted. So yeah, did that give you enough time to look up some stats, Logan?
I was trying to find some, but one thing that I was interested in with Jordan Mason is, one, the news today that people were alluding to Christian McCaffrey being out for months, which is concerning. And Christian McCaffrey was also spotted in Germany, which is alarming, because that means he's probably doing some experimental drugs that aren't necessarily approved in the U.S. for a speedy recovery. And three is, I was seeing some Jordan Mason broken tackle stat or something that I figured Nick would be keying in on because that was what he was using to scout Javonte Williams. I didn't think you'd do it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm fine with you throwing out Rashid Shaheed. Seems like he's going to be a hit or miss and not worth trying to roster in a starting lineup unless you're lucky. So that's kind of what I think about it.
I agree with everything you're saying, and I think that Christian McCaffrey being out for months just makes the trade even worse. But I do disagree with one point that you made, Logan, and it was point number two, which was alarming that he's going to Germany. He might be doing some drugs that aren't approved by dog. Wipe out what you know about the medical system in America being the top of it. Dude, Germany, that's where he should be. Like, those drugs are that's going to be the most, that is going to be good. Don't worry about that. Germany's got him. I trust him.
I figured that he's getting the best care that he can in the world legally in his current circumstance. And that's just why when I saw he was in Germany that the time frame of him returning was going to be widening.
It'll take time for the drugs to get out of his system.
Yeah, because he's not.
I didn't even think about that. Very
rush
point,
through. Man. He's not going to be able to rush through the process. He's going to have to make sure to be all clean and ready to go and like fully recovered. Plus, like I don't know, 49ers is a team are in an interesting spot. Who knows? He might be a complete workhorse steal this year.
Yeah, I mean. I'll try to defend myself here. I like what you said about Rashid Shaheed, and that's my point exactly on him, is I think he's a really good player, and I like having him on a team. But in a 10-team league in which you start two receivers, two flex, and I have Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, there is probably going to be zero circumstance in which, outside of bye weeks, where I'm going to play Rashid Shaheed with confidence. He's just a guy that he will get some deep passes, yes. But we will also have weeks like last week where he had zero catches on three targets. Like, he's a guy that I think he's a good player. Like, he will have some boom weeks. He's great in a best ball league. But in a league like this, I don't have a ton of use for him long term, to be honest. And Jordan Mason, yeah. I mean, after I made that trade, I've tried. Like, my goal, obviously, is going to be to trade for a running back. I have Javonte Williams. I have Zach Charbonnet, Jerome Ford. I have some guys, Gus Edwards, that I can plug in. But I don't want to need another back. And I'm going to have to – but I have the depth to make those kind of moves to where I'm going to be trying to go for a running back. And I've already started. Haven't been successful yet, but I'm going to do that. And with Jordan Mason, he is going to probably play a lot longer than what anyone expected this year. He might even play the whole season. But – like, is Jordan Mason that good of a player? We've got 3 weeks of watching him play.
RB14 production so far on the year.
Yeah, RB14 after being RB1 after week one. I think he's going to be in like a mid to low tier RB2. That's probably where he's going to be at. And he's probably not going to, like, if he doesn't get a touchdown, he doesn't catch passes.
Just to be clear, RB14 means high tier RB2.
For now, but he had a boom week one. And I just think he's going to be a kind of hit and miss player. Like, that's my interpretation. And with Jake Ferguson, if I can get steady tight end play, I'm going to be happy with it. I think Jake Ferguson's good, but I don't know. I might regret it if I can't get another running back, but if I can get another running back, I'm going to be perfectly fine with that deal.
Yeah. Have you tried trading for anything in that league, Logan? This is just for the listeners at home, this is a league that we're all in.
No, I haven't tried.
Very, very, very tough league to trade in.
So
good luck getting some RBs is all I have to say about it.
I'm tanking, so I kind of just don't look at the league. So.
Hey, then we're a perfect match. Logan, I think I actually sent you a trade earlier. I think you already had brought it up, maybe.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it here on the pod.
I did, because...
Let's hear a live debate, a live trade talk.
He sent me a third rounder for Roshan Johnson.
And you hate it?
You hear that, chat? Do you hear what atrocities... this guy sends out to people, and then he calls me unreasonable. No, I'm just kidding. That's crazy. Sorry. Nick, for once in a
Roshan Johnson was a coach's decision inactive the first 2 weeks of the season. This week, they plan on giving him. He could be good. He could just be terrible.
No. I actually don't think that's a bad offer. No, I'm actually joking.
I just think that him getting receiving targets last week was warranted enough for me to keep him because he's a strong, like, big back. Their line is very questionable for the Bears, and maybe they're trying to just get a smash mouth back that will be more consistent, and okay. maybe that will open up for DeAndre Swift. But I mean, I was always really high on Roschon Johnson coming out of college, and I thought he was going to have a good system there. It's just Khalil Herbert was just the guy last year. So I don't really want to trade him. I'm fine with keeping most of these running backs I have stashed on my bench. If you've looked at them.
Good luck finding an RB, Nick.
Wait, who are your starting running backs? You have...
Just so the chat knows, he also sent me a second for Joe Mixon. Well, he sends you a third for Roschon.
Is that a terrible trade, Logan? A second round pick for Joe Mixon?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, Logan knows.
Wait.
Logan's smiling because he's...
Shouldn't that be... I mean, the only problem is you're going to be a late second, most likely. Yeah,
exactly.
So if it was mid, early second, I would... definitely make that trade.
Okay,
mid to early second, right, but we both know it's not, as he just told the whole pod, right? His team far and away the best in the league.
But I don't know, I would you trade a second and a third for Joe Mixon?
I don't know. What I told him chat was was add a little bit to Joe Mixon with a first and I'd be more than happy.
I just don't think I'm confident enough in Joe. Like, he's already hurt, for one, and he's 28 or 29. Like, I just don't know how confident I am. I don't know if I'm confident enough. And if I trade my second and third, like, I'm trading all my picks for one running back who might get hurt. And he's had one good week. It was a really good week, week one, but 1 week. But I don't know. But for today's podcast, do you guys have any other trades to discuss?
No.
Okay. So for today's podcast, we're going to actually talk about it's more just player talk, our panic meters, and our confidence meters. Just basically, do we believe in this guy or do we not? And we'll just give some chatter about that. But let's start off kind of similar to that last trade that I sent you, Logan. What's your guys' panic meter on DeAndre Swift? I think I probably know where this is at, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
Yeah, I can go ahead on this. I'm not really sure where I stand with him. The panic meter I have right now is the offensive system that the Bears are running because their line has looked garbage. They have so many gaps. Like, Darnell Wright's made a mistake. The guard right next to Darnell Wright's made some serious mistakes. Their centers looked pretty flawed. And they're all making tons of mistakes. And some of the play calls are terrible that have ruined DeAndre Swift's rushing stats. Like, the was that a fourth down call that they did, like, a delayed handoff to him on the left side of the goal line? Yeah, the pitch. And it was literally read like a book, minus like 7 yards instantly. And it was just like, he's a playmaker, and you have to, like, he's not going to be just like some inside zones, like, tear you up, like, with strength, like, back. And I think that they're going to have to go through like a little bit of a identity crisis here to realize what works with him, because any running back can realistically get like 3 yards a carry on the Eagles, and he was able to get a lot more. So it's just like allowing him to succeed in the catch game and doing some like outside zone, a different place for him, I think will definitely work better for him, but they haven't realized that yet. So I think that there's going to be some growing pains probably with Roschon here a little bit, but I think he'll be able to get back his role. Plus with what they're paying him.
Yeah, I feel like that's the big thing. But the other thing too, I like how you brought in the Eagles, like his yards per carry with the we got to start talking about how running backs, when they leave the Eagles, like, you better sell them as quick as you can because it's over. Like, Miles Sanders had, what, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. He goes to his next team. He's benched within, like, 3 to 4 weeks. DeAndre Swift, he's played 3 weeks, and if the Bears could get rid of his contract immediately, oh, I think 100% they would. My panic meter with DeAndre Swift is probably at a 9. I think DeAndre Swift is a bad runner. And the thing is, I have been pretty confident and outspoken in how I don't think DeAndre Swift is good throughout a lot of his career. But this is the one year where I actually bought into DeAndre Swift entering the year. I drafted him in redraft. I actually bought him on some teams. And I just don't think he's good. Like, he's just not a good runner with the way that the Bears are using him. I think he's a good receiver. And I think he's good, yeah, out in space. But with the way that they are using him, I think, yeah, with the way that they're using him, it's a concern for me. And unless they start using him more as a receiver, I have concern that he's going to lose his job to like a. I mean, I don't think Roschon's that good either, but I think he's going to get a shot because between the tackles, I think Swift struggles.
Yeah, so did Neighbors look pretty banged up on that play?
Yeah, he
God
did.
damn it, I shouldn't have
He
said
probably
that
did.
shit, or I shouldn't have said that shit earlier
Yep.
about seeing concerns with just an unlucky
Oh,
play.
yeah. You did, Logan. You jinxed him.
Ooh.
I think he might have just gotten the wind knocked out of him. Now that
Yeah.
I look at where that ball landed, like
Yeah,
where he lands on the ball.
it was kind of like with Devin Singletary earlier. It looked like he took like a face mask to the ribs or something. Huh.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
Yeah, not
So that
ideal.
was fourth and six, and that does mean that
I'm just not too
Bengals
confident
quarterback
on
is
a
gonna
lot
start.
of solidified roles on the Bears offense right now. I think that a lot of it could be shaken up, one with Keenan Allen returning and Adunze, he plays, but I haven't been impressed with what I thought he would be capable of doing already, just by seeing what Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr. can do immediately, thinking that I had Adunze like right under that tier. He just hasn't shown enough to impress me right now, but I'm not giving up on him by any means. It's just the.
He had six catches for 112 yards and a touchdown last game. That's pretty good for a
The
rookie.
only problem, though, is like I'm pretty sure his separation score, too, and like some of those advanced metrics have looked horrible, which like he's not going to be some killer around the outside destroying a defender, but like I don't know. I'm interested to see what kind of role he digs himself out by the end of the year.
Yeah. I agree. And I think the Bears offensively have been kind of a mess to this point, to where I do wonder kind of what changes they make. Because they're definitely gonna make changes. And I think Keenan Allen, personally speaking, I think he's the biggest buy right now in redraft and maybe even in dynasty. Like I just think his in that offense, his role is so crucial to their to their whole entire team. Like I just think he's really important, and just the way that they're using DeAndre Carter in that offense, like DeAndre Carter's not going to play when Keenan's back. Like that's going to be Keenan Allen, and then he's getting a lot of first read looks from Caleb Williams, and I just think Keenan Allen, like we're learning, like it's not DJ Moore that I think is going to be their guy in this offense. It might be Keenan Allen when he gets back. Like that's kind of my initial read, and I think he might kind of unlock some stuff. And the running back situation, I hope they do something different because it's not working the way that they're running. Like your offensive line hasn't been great, but Swift is not really one that has the vision to kind of make something from nothing. To where they, if they're going to keep running how they are, like you're going to try someone else, Khalil Herbert, Roschon, someone. But if you want to start changing something up, yeah, use Swift. But yeah, I don't know. They got some stuff to work on for sure. All right, next one, Logan. I want to toss it to you. What's a panic meter on Will Levis? Everyone kind of has their own thoughts on Will Levis, but as a Titans guy, someone who's big into Will Levis, where are you at? Where are you at? 1 to 10.
I'm really not that scared right now, to be honest. I think that seeing other quarterbacks and how they've started the year off, there's definitely been a shift on passing offenses that has shaken up the league. He just has literally not had the same amount of starts given to him as other quarterbacks. And he obviously does some really boneheaded mistakes, which he's did against the Bears the next week. Like he always has these turnover worthy plays that are horrible, but it's also like the dude's got like a 68% completion rate. So it's just like that metric's solid. He definitely does some hero ball every now and then. It's just if he can limit his turnovers and keep an eye on Nicholas Petit-Freer every time he's trying to block someone, he'll know when the pressure's coming because like his sacks are up. He's got 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions through 3 games. So like it's really not anything I'm too concerned. His quarterback rating is sitting at a 76.5, which like isn't bad when you look at all the other struggling quarterbacks in the league. Let me see. Trevor Lawrence. I love putting Trevor you know, out in the spotlight here. Let's see what he's up to. Yeah, so he literally has 52.8 completion percentage, 560 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. His QB rating 75.1. So it's just like he hasn't been turning over the ball, but it's like he hasn't been winning his team the game either. So it's just like I think that the Lions need to take out Nicholas Petit-Freer and substitute someone else in there for him because the amount of pressures that have came strictly from the right tackle is alarming. And I think that Tony Pollard's looked pretty good. Tajay Spears has looked pretty good. Calvin Ridley looked pretty good in those first 2 weeks. DeAndre Hopkins is finally starting to come back. I'm almost wondering if Treylon Burks shouldn't be playing because they're only sending him deep. They might need to put Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in there, even though he's not the fastest guy. I think that Brian Callahan's a decently smart guy. I think that he'll be able to draw something up that's going to work. I think that they have a new coach, new system, a lot of new players. It's just like they are going through that first few game stretch that they don't look like a great team right now. But I think their defense looks really good. I think Will Levis has made some plays that I've thought like, wow, if only he could be more consistent on something like that, then he could be their guy. So I'm not too concerned about him at all right now. Like the Titans just went through a massive head coaching switch to an offensive head coach. It's like, there's going to be growing pains.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely fair. I would say my panic meter on Levis is about a 7, which it's not as high as what I thought it would be, but I feel like I agree with you that he does have some like pretty good, like he'll be pretty productive. Like he'll get down the field, like make some really good plays, but then he doesn't know how to turn it off. Like he just does not know how to not be full aggression, full crazy 100% of the time. Like he just needs to take it easy sometimes. Like someone needs to just like punch him or just like, I made the joke that like if Will Levis got like a lobotomy, like he would be one of the best players of the league. Like he just needs like something's just not, or just like a screw just screwed in a little tighter. Will Levis would be good. He just one, I think he doesn't. I think the sack issues are a lot on him. Like I don't think he sees pressure real well. And I thought with Vrabel, they did a good job that 4-touchdown game. They did a great job of taking the pocket navigation out of the game. Like they had them do like that huge, 7-step drop just to kind of take that play out of him. And I think Callahan, like the level of concern, why it's high, like I'm talking pretty relatively high on him. But the concern with him is one, the sacks. Like I think he struggles to see it. And also I think Callahan gets frustrated with him. But it's just what's the limit for him? With Levis, the next question is going to be with Anthony Richardson. And I think it's the same for both of them. If you're going to draft them and play them, you got to go through the lumps. You can't just expect them to be good in 3 or 4 weeks and then bench them. If you're 4-0 and their quarterback's holding you back, sure. But it's just you got to play through the lumps with these guys, I think. They need the experience. They need to. Callahan's got to get I think he just needs to just deal with Levis's lumps and just wait for him to just figure it out and just keep working with him. Cause that's his job to do, is to help him with the pocket navigation, to help him get better at these things and to help him not make these stupid plays. I don't know.
I completely agree. But I do just want to mention though, that like realistically he's only played in 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
12, he's played in 12 games and people are wanting to like crucify him for having, I would almost call them rookie mistakes because he hasn't played a full season yet. But it's just like, the dude's got some serious arm talent. And I do like what you mentioned with the Falcons. They were dropping him back really far. They were doing like the old college football strategy where they would be putting him on a diagonal and kind of letting him roll out a little bit. But essentially, I don't know. I hate even saying this because Will Levis literally has no rushing ability, really. And he puts his body on the line a little bit too much. But those first 2 years for Josh Allen were very rough. The first year especially was very rough. And he got it together in the second season. So I think that's kind of where you need to hold Levis at, is in his second season. If he has a very good second half of the season, or he starts to get it together, they're playing the Dolphins this weekend with no Tua. And so they're going to have some weird offensive struggles. So I'm kind of interested to see if he'll have more opportunities on offense, if he can be a lot more consistent and limit turnovers. And then I think you should lower your panic meter after that if he does well. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I feel like with Levis, they have a good defense this year. They have a pretty good run game. They have some decent options. He just needs to chill out. If he doesn't make stupid mistakes, their team is fine. And it's just, I feel like that's where Callahan frustration's coming with him. It's just like, dude, the Bears didn't score at all offensively against us. If you don't make stupid mistakes, we win. And the same goes for week two. Was that against the Packers? Mm-hmm. Like the Packers game, they had a backup quarterback. Malik Willis had been there for less than 2 weeks. And you make stupid mistakes to where you're from behind the whole time, to where you just get blown out because you just make bad mistakes early. You got to win those kind of games, quarterback. And he's 24 years old. You got to figure it out at some point, dude. And I feel like that's where Callahan's frustration is. But at the same time, he's done some productive stuff where you got to just ride with him. And we don't want to see, Mason Rudolph? Like, I don't want to see Mason Rudolph. No one wants to see that. Just work with Levis, get him to where he's playable. And if he's not, draft a quarterback after the year. I don't know.
I guess whenever you bring up Mason Rudolph as the backup, my Will Levis panic meter goes down a little bit, not going to lie. But yeah, I would say it was about out of 7.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, let's go to the next one. Anthony Richardson. Jesse, I'll toss it to you first. Where's your panic meter?
I mean, 9. I am concerned. I know that we were just talking about Will Levis. I know that we were just saying you got to give these guys time. But what Anthony Richardson really needed was reps. I know Nick has gone over this a lot, but yeah, I mean, it's reps, and he didn't get them. And it's very obvious that, you know, in the NFL, to be a quarterback, you got to be able to read the defense, throw the ball, put it in the right spots, have some touch, all the stuff. And he doesn't have much of it. You know, I mean, he has a hell of an arm. You know, he has a cannon of an arm, but just the touch, you know, I don't think he's ever going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think the fact that he didn't have an off season just kills him. Like, that just – I was down on him entering the year just because of that. Like, he needed the work. Like, he needed the reps. And the same thing with the Titans on you can't bench Levis. You cannot bench Richardson. If you're going to bench Anthony Richardson for Joe Flacco, then why the heck did you draft this guy? Like, if you're drafting Anthony Richardson to be good from year one – because this is essentially year one, because he played 4 games last year, and I think he only finished like 1 or 2 of those. And then he didn't have an off season because of the shoulder surgery. You got to keep playing him. Otherwise, it's stupid to draft him because he was not a good college quarterback. He had good traits and he had some flash moments, but yeah, you can't bench him. You got to work with him. And I'm concerned with him. Like, my concern's probably the same at a 7, the same. His throwing just it's concerning. And I worry that the Colts are going to want to go to Flacco. And I think that could be a just terrible franchise decision to go to Flacco at this point. But at this point, though, Anthony Richardson's not an NFL-level passer. That's a given. And the thing with Richardson is eventually teams were going – like, people were talking to him MVP talk based on 3, 4 games. But it's just NFL teams react to the way you play. And he's not able to run right now. Like, they're having to score by Jonathan Taylor just running 20, 30 times. You have no passing game. all the receiving options are bad. If you listen to Dino Talk, you would have never drafted any of their players at the receiving options. But yeah, it's concerning for their passing game for this year. For this year, my panic meter for them is a 10. For Anthony Richardson, it's a 10. But I just hope he can figure it out.
What about Anthony Richardson as a dynasty asset?
7.
7.
Sorry, Logan, you go ahead.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can't remember. Someone was asking me outside of the podcast what I thought about Anthony Richardson, and I said that he, like we always reiterate, that he's never gotten this enough reps, even in college, like decent in high school or whatever. But the thing was, is I said, let me look this up. I want to know how many attempts C.J. Stroud would have a year. And then I saw in C.J. Stroud's sophomore season at Ohio State, he had 317 completions and 441 attempts. And that was in one season through 12 games. And Anthony Richardson in his entire college career only had 215 completions and 393 attempts. So in one year, C.J. Stroud had the ability to, you know, pass the ball more than Anthony Richardson did in his entire college career. So it's just like the completion percentage wasn't there. Sack avoidance is good. That's the one great thing about him. It's just that the thing that concerns me the most is being able to realistically have like a consistent scheme with him and be without just beating down Jonathan Taylor or any running options. And one of the graphs that I sent to Nick on Twitter, I think yesterday or something, was his off-target throw rates to horizontally versus vertically moving receivers. And Anthony Richardson's in a quadrant of his own because it looks like he's sitting at like a 50% off-target throw percentage on vertical receivers. And then on horizontal receivers, he's also sitting at 50% inaccuracy. So it's just like his off-target throw rates are literally off the charts, that he is in a league of his own. So it's just like I don't know how you fix that quickly.
Yep, no, exactly. And if you guys were to follow Prospect Talk, it's our website. His prospect profile, on the one that I did on him, Anthony Richardson was historic in college with his inaccuracies within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage. Like, he was historically inaccurate in that range. I looked back 12, 13 years, and there was no one that was even close to as inaccurate, like that had a completion percentage as bad as he did. And that is carrying over perfectly to the NFL. He can't throw short. Like, he just can't do it successfully. His touch is just very lacking. And then it's also downfield. He'll sometimes do lob passes, but it's just like it'll hang in the air for 10 years and allow the defense to make plays on it. Like, the guy is, at this point in time, he's either running or he can throw a short screen pass, or he can run and he can throw it deep. He's pretty good throwing it deep. I'll give him that. But it's just, he's got to, in the NFL, with the way defenses are going with two high safeties, like, you got to find some kind of short intermediate game. And if he struggles throwing the screen pass game, boy, it's going to be a tough sled for him. And I hope he can figure it out. And that's why they got to keep playing him. But I don't know. I am concerned. But yeah, we'll be back after a quick break.
Dino Talk.
And we're back. We're going to continue with the running back talk. Actually, we finished with QBs, but we're going to go back to the running back talk. Sorry. And we're going to talk Logan's guy here. We're going to talk Rashad White. And where's your panic meter on Rashad White, Logan? Like, I know you're probably going to say, what, 50?
No, I'm going to keep a level head and say it's at a 6, because I think that he's not a great runner, and I think it's going to warrant some of his snap share to continue to go down.
That's fair. Jesse, where are you at?
I mean, my panic meter is way higher on Rashad White. I think that his workload's getting eaten up. And, I mean, exactly like Logan said, I think that he sucks at running the ball, which is kind of crucial for a running back.
That's the truth. I would say mine's at a 7, 7 to 8, maybe 8. I don't know. I mean, he's not a good runner, but I feel like we kind of knew that. But the thing is, he's not getting any receiving work. He's not getting any receiving work. And the other thing is, like, I'm sorry to say this, Jesse, that like their offense is struggling. Baker is getting sacked more than Will Levis out here. Baker is getting sacked so much, he's not getting the rid of the ball to Rashad White, to where their offense is just, for fantasy, Baker's been good, but their offense has been a little bit rough, I think. To where, I don't know. I feel like it's at a seven, probably. Like, I feel like they got to change something up. I mean, Bucky Irving's been a better runner. I think that's undeniable. And I think he's probably a pretty good player. But I think Rashad White's still a really good receiver. So they just need to figure out a way to get him the ball more. And they need to figure out a way to get Baker not taking so many sacks. Like, and maybe he can get rid of the ball to Rashad White so he doesn't have to take the sacks. I don't know.
I think that's a realistic take. I could probably agree with you on a seven on the panic meter, especially noticing he averages 2.1 yards per carry, which isn't very ideal unless there was like five or six downs in football.
Yeah, he's DeAndre Swift, except for usually they actually use, and Rashad White's a better receiver than DeAndre Swift as well. Where he's just, I think he's a better runner than, or he's a better player than DeAndre Swift. Running wise, they're probably the same. I don't know who's better. But yeah, they need to get back like how they used him last year, just getting him the ball out of the backfield and just letting him make plays. Because without him, their offense is struggling, I think. I think they need to figure something else out. I don't know. But the other one we got to talk about is Javonte Williams. Like, Jesse, where's your panic meter here?
My panic meter isn't
Set a 10.
I mean, for sure it's out of 10. For sure. I mean, but I mean, I didn't know if you were referencing the trade talk that had gone on. There had been a pretty bitter trade battle between me and you and Javonte Williams. So I don't know if you were referencing that. But
No.
boy, oh boy, I'm feeling pretty good about not sending you my first. I'll tell you that much. Feeling real good about not sending the first.
Yeah, my concern with Javonte is probably a little bit higher than White. It's probably at an eight. It's because I feel like with Javonte, the problem is the injury. Like, I thought he was a really good player out of college. It's just, we still don't know if he's fully back to himself. And their run game has been pretty terrible across the board. Like, I know Tyler Batty got 70 yards rushing, but it was all fourth quarter rushes. Like, I still don't really think they have good runners on their team, except for maybe Estime, but he's on IR. To where I think Javonte's still going to keep getting the work, which is why it's not higher than an eight. To where he still can figure it out.
That's why it's lower to me though than Rashad White is because of Bucky Irving. That's what makes me worry about Rashad White. Where at least with Javonte, there's no one that's gonna for sure come in and take the work. It might get taken by a host of running backs, but it's not like there's one person that they're gonna just fill the slot in with.
Where are you at with Javonte Logan?
I think I mentioned this on a podcast in the past. I don't remember exactly what episode it was, but my biggest concern with Javonte Williams was Sean Payton and his willingness to split carries amongst many running backs. And in the past, that was when there was many successful backs. So I guess I don't really know how to accurately measure what's going to happen when most of their running backs aren't doing very well. So it's just like I remember in the beginning I was referencing like Jaleel McLaughlin and Estime, but now that they have another running back that's in the picture too, as well, getting snaps. Like, I'm glad I don't really have him. I don't think I have him in any leagues, and I'm just advocating for Courtland Sutton at this point. So I think that it's pretty evident that they need to figure something out, and I don't know if he's going to come out on top. I think it's kind of like how I'm feeling about the Las Vegas Raiders right now. They don't have a ton of running backs like what is happening on the Broncos, but I'm feeling the same feeling with Zamir White right now, where I don't necessarily think that he's at the caliber to keep a position as a running back one on a team. So it's just like they're really inefficient running. So it's just, I'm glad I don't have him.
Who would you guys rather have, Javonte or Zamir White on a dynasty team?
Javonta.
I think I agree with that.
I don't know. I don't want to either. I don't
Yeah.
think I want either, but I know that I have Zamir White shares on a couple teams. they just haven't proved that they're efficient runners or they have a good system built around them. So it's just like, think you might just have to hold them or cut them. I don't really know at this point.
Yeah, I feel like with the Broncos, just like what's been said, is they don't really have a running game right now. And until they find a running game, it could still be Javonte. With the Raiders, I think Alexander Mattison is just going to take over for Zamir, which is why I'd rather have Javonte.
Yeah, do you think I really don't think I've watched a Broncos game this season yet. I don't want to watch Bo Nix, but this is all just speculation. Do you think that one of their problems with run a pretty low zone on a team whenever you average 5 yards an attempt? Well, you literally could stack the box unintentionally, almost running a zone against Bo Nix.
Yeah. I mean, their offense is not good. I know Sean Payton won with Drew Brees, but Drew Brees is just like a unicorn with his ability to process. Like, I don't like their offense in the modern NFL. Like, I don't know. Maybe they can figure something out, but I'm concerned with Javonte. I am, which sucks because I have him on a lot of team and I'm pretty confident on him coming out. But I don't know about if I'm confident enough in Sean Payton to get him going, but there's still a chance.
Maybe if he could get some receiving work, I'd feel a lot better about him.
Yeah, and he has. Like, that's the reason why I think he's been averaging, what, like 8 to 10 fantasy points?
He's had 5 catches almost every game.
Yeah, like he makes the catches, which, in all honesty, that should be the Jaleel McLaughlin role. Javonte should be the rusher and him the receiver, but I guess maybe Javonte's not a bad pass catcher. I mean, he's probably not, but like, get him some work. Get him going on the ground. Switching them. Yeah, if you have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, you can run the 2-back system and just mix and match them. When you have a guy coming off an injury and you have a rookie that's never done anything, like, you need to let them get into a rhythm. Give Javonte 17 carries and see what he does. Give Jaleel McLaughlin, like, if you believe in him more, give him those carries. Maybe Tyler Batty or whatever can actually play during meaningful time. Maybe he can do it. But, like, you got to get these guys into a rhythm because it's pretty – their run game is terrible when you're mixing and matching them. It just doesn't work for them. You got to figure something else out. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think we can go into guys – let's go the other way. Not a panic meter, but what's your confidence meter in these guys? One being – I'm not too confident. 10 being, I'm pretty confident. Let's go ahead and talk about Quentin Johnston, a former first-round pick who everyone said was a bust after year one. Like, you could probably throw a third-rounder and get him. And he wasn't drafted in redraft leagues. And this year, does he have a touchdown in every game? If he doesn't, he's produced really in every game. Are we just – is it Quentin Johnston's actually good now, or are we still hesitant? Like, what – Jess, where's your confidence meter in Quinn Johnston?
I would put it right around a 5. I mean, he has the pedigree, obviously, as a first-round pick. I think that's what makes everyone pretty excited about whenever, you know, he does start doing some stuff. But, you know, it's not like we haven't seen boom games before from first-round picks. You know, everybody gets a little bit excited about it, and then, you know, they fade back out. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely exciting. I'm happy for the kid. I hope he gets a chance. A few more chances.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think mine's hopefully hit a 5-2, just because I don't really know. They don't pass it enough to where you can really have a ton of confidence in him. He's gotten the touchdowns. He's gotten like 4, in between 2 to 4 catches. If Quentin Johnston comes out with a 7 to 8 catch game, my confidence meter is at an 8 or 9. But like, you gotta, I don't know. I think they should pass it a little more to see, but I mean, if you win games like Jim Harbaugh, the way he does it, like, if you can sit on the lead, he'll run the ball 100 times and throw when he has to. But with Justin Herbert now out, I think they're going to have to throw more. Assuming he doesn't play this week, I don't really know if he's going to. But I like to see them kind of feature him a little more. I like that he's getting targets. I like that he's getting opportunities to make plays and he's doing it. To where, yeah, I'm at a 5. Like, I'm not like, oh, my God, I'm buying him any chance I can. At the same time, I try not selling them.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I feel like putting him right at the middle of the pack five after having a lackluster last season was just probably the way to go at this current moment, just because Justin Herbert's already dealing with his injuries again. And I think that with Jim Harbaugh, they're not going to like absolutely blow anyone out. They're, you know, going to take the game a bit slow, kind of get the ground game going, get the clock running, stuff like that. But I definitely think that him already receiving 14 targets through three games is really reassuring. And I think that if that continues, that's going to be awesome. I wish I had the stat up right now, just like another first target read percentage with him going up pretty high on that is reassuring too, to know that he's definitely the number one option on the team is pretty good. But I guess we'll have to see what the status of the Chargers offense is going into week four and later into the season.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I like that they're giving them the first read looks. Like, that's a good sign of a good offensive coordinator, I think, is just finding a way to get the ball into your first round pick in ways that he can actually succeed in. Something that the last coaching staff, I think, struggled with. Because Quentin Johnson's not a downfield target. I mean, even though he's made those plays this year, but it's just he's at his best kind of making plays after the catch. It's where Quentin Johnson.
I was going to say, because like after watching the Giants game today, if he played on the Giants offense tonight and was schemed in either the Malik Nabers or the Wandale Robinson role, I think that he would have been extremely successful. It was good to see him on the Chargers offense kind of getting some like slant middle of the read flat routes too, where he just has the ability to make the catch and then attempt to make a play after that. And they actually scheme him up instead of just like sending him on elaborate routes or just downfield, because that's when his hands became in question. So I think that was a big concern with people. But now that he's making plays, I think people should feel a lot better about him.
No, I would agree. All right, the next guy I wanted to bring up, Jesse and I have had some discussions tonight about him, is Daniel Jones. Because I think he, like we talked about it earlier on the podcast, that I think he's done pretty well, like with Malik Nabers, Wandale Robinson, and – Where's your confidence meter in him? Like, are you is he one that you are confident in as a QB2? Like, are you wanting to upgrade there? Where are you at with him from a dynasty perspective? Like, are you wanting to sell him? Do you think he's a buy? Like, he's had decent numbers to this point so far. I know he only had 10 points tonight, but he's looking more confident as a player, and off an ACL tear, I kind of like what I've seen.
Yeah, I was going to say my panic meter for him probably right now would still be at like a six. Like, I do still think that there's some concern. I think that, he's been playing pretty good ball so far this season. I think that I don't want to say anything too insane before they play the Seahawks next week, because Mike McDonald's going to be sending some serious pressure his way. And I think that's when we'll know how he handles pressure and if he'll be able to still make quick throws to like Nabers and Wandale Robinson, to see if he's actually like back to when he was good in 2022 or whenever that was. And I would say six. Like, I still think there's concern there. I don't want to like write him off, but I think he's also in a good spot to like make a name for himself and put people at ease going into the Seahawks game. Cause last time they played the Seahawks, he got absolutely torn apart. Like, Devin Witherspoon, I'm pretty sure, had a pick six against him. And he just got lit up. So I think that there's panic still there for me, but I think he's played these first few games really well. So we'll see what happens this next week.
I think he could end up getting the Giants enough wins that they can't replace him again in the draft. I mean, I could see it. I could see him having a decent enough spot in the draft. And then, I could see him being a decent dynasty QB2. Even if he were to get like traded away, I think he's gonna have a job somewhere.
On a contending team, would you guys buy him?
As a QB3 or 4, not as like the guy I'm gonna be starting every week.
If you have Tua as QB2, would you buy Daniel Jones to be your QB2?
I think I'm throwing my towel in on the season.
I would buy Geno before anyone else, I feel like.
Fair. That's fair. I think I'd put my confidence meter at about a 5 in him. I think if you have him, I think it's impossible to sell Daniel Jones, where I'd just keep him. But I have one team where I'm a rebuild team and I have Daniel Jones. And I just kind of hope he has a couple more good games to where people are like, you know what? I'll buy into him. But yeah, I do worry about that Seahawks game. I didn't know they played next. Like that's Daniel Jones, when he has time, when he isn't getting pressured, he's not a bad quarterback. It's just when you send these blitzes at him, when you confuse him, when you make him have to think and avoid sacks, like he just can just collapse. Like that Seahawks game was just horrible. And I think that's where he ended up getting hurt, right? But he just needs to, yeah, just they need to figure something out where he can avoid that game without being completely exposed. But I mean, I have some hope in him, like with him having Malik Nabers, with Wandale finally healthy, like their team isn't bad from a passing game standpoint, I don't think. Much better than it was a year ago. Yeah, Torah, I'd say it's probably about five. All right, next guy I'm going to talk about. Logan and I have talked about him a decent amount. I filled in Jesse a little bit about this guy, but what's your guys' confidence meter in Eric All? Eric All has kind of been a guy that on Twitter people have just kind of been going nuts about. And in dynasty leagues, there's been trade offers just kind of sent out left and right about him. I've received an offer of a second round pick for Eric All. And in fact, I've actually sent out a few offers of a second round pick for Eric All. Do you guys have a confidence meter, like to where you don't know, to where you just say nothing? But like, I don't know what to think about this so far. I mean, he's a rookie. To those who don't know,
Yeah, I was gonna say, who the hell is this guy? Is what's gonna be my response. I didn't know if maybe Logan knew, but I don't even know who the hell this is.
So Eric All was what was he, a fifth round pick, Logan? A sixth round pick? He to the Bengals. Fourth rounder, fourth round pick to the Bengals. He played at Michigan for 3 years in college, and then he transferred. He got hurt, and he transferred to Iowa. And at Iowa, he was pretty productive. He was pretty productive at Michigan, I would say. And then at Iowa, he was very productive for like three or four games. Then he tore his ACL, and he's a guy that's pretty athletic, and he ended up, yeah, tearing his ACL, and that was going into this season. And he was still drafted in the fourth round. And 2 games in, he's been slowly getting more and more snaps, and he's been productive. He's caught four passes in each of the last 2 games. And he also is a very good blocker. Like I will add that they use him in the running game, and he is very highly effective. And he's just a guy that has some athleticism, has some juice to him. And off an ACL tear, his production so far and his ability to get on the field when you have Mike Gesicki, who's been productive, I think it's impressive. To where my confidence meter in Eric All, like I'm kind of buying the hype a little bit. It's probably at a six. I'll try to buy him. I've sent out some offers. I'm not going to go over the top. I've sent some late second offers for him, and people counter for early seconds that I have. And I'm just like, I can't do an early second. But late second, I would throw at Eric All, just in the case of that he hits the upside that he's shown so far, and that some people really are buying into. I don't know. That's kind of the gist on Eric All. Like he's coming off an ACL tear, he's got some athleticism, and he's producing in the early games as a fourth round pick in his rookie season. And especially for the Bengals, who have quite a few target options in that offense, like the fact that he's got four catches, I think is something.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely true. I don't really know if I have too much of an opinion on him.
How could you?
I think that the takeaway was us talking about Mike Gesicki really early in the tight ends podcast that we did a long time ago, because they finally are running a three tight end system that allows for Eric All and Drew Sample to take blocking snaps, so Gesicki can do his thing that the Dolphins couldn't realize that, you know, he was a receiving tight end. So I think that it's good that he's gotten eight targets, but I think if anything, he's just going to rise up to the tight end two spot, take Drew Sample's snaps away. So I don't know. I think a second's kind of pushing it. I think that you kind of just get him in the draft and maybe a late second, but I still don't even know if I'd want to do that. He's also 24 years old too, so maybe he's closer to his peak as a tight end. Who knows? Maybe that's how it works. But
how on earth is Eric All the same value as Joe Mixon? Like, how is that even possible?
That's what I'm wondering too.
I gotta call this guy up who's like hyped up Eric All and tell him, "Yo, hype up Joe Mixon for me so I can make a trade to my buddy Nick for a week."
Yeah, they're different leagues. Like in the Superflex tight end premium league, I would trade a second for Eric All. In our league, that's a 10-team non-tight end premium league. I'm not going to send a second for Eric All. I did pick him up off the waiver wire.
Yeah. that's the best way to get him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his age is somewhat of a concern, but his injuries make it a lot less of a concern for me. Like he was good at Michigan. I do think Colson Loveland was going to steal his job. Like he was kind of going, but it wasn't until Eric All got hurt for the season that Loveland started taking over and showing out. But yeah, with Eric All, I do think he's talented. Do I think he's going to become a tight end great? No. But do I think he can be pretty good? I do. And he got hurt his last year at Michigan where he couldn't really go to the draft. And then he transferred to Iowa and he was productive. He actually, the crazy stat that probably nobody knows is he played three, maybe four games for Iowa last season. And he led them in receiving the whole season and only played three or four games. At the end of the season, he led them in receiving yards.
How many receiving yards were there on Iowa's team?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
But he still led them in receiving. Like he had like 200-300 yards.
That's pretty solid.
But he did that in like three, four games, and he led them in receiving the whole season, which is insane. But yeah, I don't know. I thought we should bring it up on the podcast. At least provide some background to it and just say in the league, if he's on your waiver wire, pick him up. If you can get him for a late third, fourth, pick him up. If you like him more than that, yeah, offer more. But yeah.
One thing I'm also skeptical of is maybe if he was on another team, my confidence meter would be a little bit higher. But like I've noticed over the years that the Bengals can cycle tight ends out left and right, like they always have multiple that they're running at all times, so it's just like that's kind of concerning, but at least that they run a system of multiple tight ends, he'll be able to get on the field, so that's also a positive. So
yeah, and also Mike Gesicki's only there for a year and Eric All is on a rookie contract, and if he's a guy that can show he can produce as a rookie, he could be their rookie. Yeah, he could be their starting tight end for the next 4 years. And if T. Higgins signs elsewhere, in which you have Joe Burrow, who knows? Maybe he could be that second option on that team. Like, you never know. Like, I feel like he's a guy that, yeah, I'd throw a dart throw at. And, I didn't sell him for a second. But that's just kind of what's happened so far.
Right.
It's also weird that he's already the 27th tight end. That's just in a normal tight end non-premium league. So it's just like, crazy that tight ends have been so hit or miss this year.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for tight ends. And yeah, Eric Hall's producing.
Is he producing with four catches on the year? Has that been an efficient tight end start for you?
I mean, eight catches coming out of two games is honestly startable this year.
Wait, yeah, eight catches. Oh, yes. I thought he had four.
Eight catches for the season so far.
Yeah, four. He had four in two games, like four in each of the two games.
Oh,
he didn't play week one. In week two, he had four catches.
Oh, he played week one, but he had 24% snap share. So like he did, and it went to 52 week two, and then 34 week three.
Yeah, so his snap share is going up, and for playing that low of a snap share, his target totals are pretty nuts. Four targets in each of the second and in week two and week three when playing 50% or under in snaps.
Yeah, because he had 21 of Cincinnati's 62 offensive snaps in the last game and had four targets. So that's one. Damn.
That's solid.
Yeah, better than Joe Mixon, apparently.
So he's got 19%. So on the snaps, he got targeted 19%.
That's pretty high. And it's a small sample size, but if Eric All has a game in which he has five catches for 80 yards and a touchdown,
Like, that guy, you're not going to be able to buy in any case. Like, I feel like that's the point of buying him at this point, is you can kind of get in at the – like, because remember last year there was – I mean, this is a terrible comparison, and I know it's different. But, like, with Puka Nacua, Puka had those great early games, and people are like, oh, sell Puka Nacua. But then people are like, do I sell Puka Nacua or do I not? And then, like, some people were offering seconds for Puka, and it's just like, do you accept it? Do you not? And then after, like, 6 weeks, if you're not throwing an early first or another great player, you're not getting Puka Nacua. And that could be Eric Hall. Like, if he starts producing at a high rate, like, you're not going to be able to buy this guy. Where it's just elite players. If he turns into an elite level tight end player, yeah, this would be a steal right now at the value. But I mean, it's obviously early for talking about him being elite when he hasn't done it for that long. But I don't know. If he has a 5-catch game for 80 yards and a touchdown, I'd buy him for a second, hands down.
But by then it'll be too late, right?
Yeah, it probably would be too late. But I'd throw an early second at him at that point. All right, guys, to end the podcast here, I have another question, kind of similar to the Malik Neighbors, Marvin Harrison. Who do you value higher, Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams? If you have Jaden Daniels right now and you got offered Caleb Williams, would you accept it? And if you have Caleb Williams and you got offered Jaden Daniels, would you accept it? Who do you guys value higher?
It's so close now that I'm looking at the league as in, like, is it 6 point per passing touchdowns? Because in that case, I'm going to go Caleb. You know, because the four-point passing touchdown, Jaden Daniels is a little bit more valuable. So maybe I'd go Jaden Daniels. I mean, I'm literally going – I would be looking into it like that, like going into the league and going into whatever settings I think is going to lean whichever's way. Because I have them dead equal right now, guys. I'm not going to lie. Especially in fantasy.
Where are you at, Logan?
I hate talking Bears quarterbacks. I think that I still have Caleb Williams ahead of him. Even though Jaden Daniels has got these rushing stats. I'm just never confident whenever I start seeing college offenses run in the NFL. Because I think that everyone's seen those in the past. And they'll inevitably get eaten up in my confidence at Dan Quinn being a head coach and Cliff Kingsbury making sure that he can consistently produce on offense is just a fad at the moment. I don't want to say that the Bengals are fraudulent by any means, but allowing Jaden Daniels to have like 90% completion rate the entire game and overthrow Terry McLaurin on a wide open pass, but make up for it to win the game. I just think that what we're seeing is pretty magical right now, and I just don't know if I'm completely buying into this being a consistent thing, whereas Caleb Williams has faced some pretty good defenses so far. I think he's kind of in a rough spot, and obviously maybe his trade values went down or whatever, but I think that I'm buying into his ability to grow and become an elite quarterback, whereas I think Jaden Daniels is going through kind of a schemed quarterback look right now that I would be very concerned with in the long term. But, I mean, he's obviously making plays and protecting the football and scoring, and their offense has looked amazing on every drive that they've done this season. So it's just like, I don't know how to accurately measure that.
I have an additional question to add after Nick answers. Which one would you like?
I'm sorry, guys. I still prefer Caleb.
I feel like
pretty clearly. I think Caleb looks like, I know a lot of people are concerned about the way he's played, but I think he looks good. Like, I'm not that concerned. They don't have a run game at all. Like, their pass game's kind of been dysfunctional. And I kind of thought of something that I'm going to start using from now on. And a saying that I think good coaches can make rookie quarterbacks look good early, but only good players can sustain it, can actually sustain their career. I butchered it, but I think good coaches in general, I think Cliff has maximized Jaden Daniels' strengths early and made him look good. But the problem in the NFL is that, like, it's said time and time again with
NFL quarterbacks, you can look good for 3 to 4 weeks, but then after that time is over, teams start adjusting. Defenses and coaches adjust. And that's my concern with Jaden Daniels is how will he do once teams adjust? Like, does he have a counter? And does Cliff Kingsbury have a counter that can work for Jaden Daniels? Whereas with Caleb, I'm pretty confident he's going to figure it out and have counters when teams figure out how to play him. Like, I'm more confident in Caleb as the player to make adjustments, just because with Jaden Daniels, he's had a lot of reps. Like, he's different from Levis. He's different from Richardson in that he's played a lot of college football. And he's played a lot of reps. And a lot of people were buying into completely the late career Jaden Daniels. Whereas, like, what we've seen in the NFL so far is early career Jaden Daniels. It's a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, takes care of the football, and can run the ball. And I kind of think that's the way that he is. And when people start kind of playing him that way and don't let him scramble, because he's a guy that just any kind of pressure that comes his way, he still scrambles like crazy. Like, he'll just get out of the pocket and just run. And when teams try to condense the pocket and make him throw, I just wonder how he's going to adjust to that. That's why I'm with Caleb. Like, I like Caleb's ability to stay in the pocket. I like his ability on the move. I think he just has matchup ability, like, to be a matchup nightmare more than Jaden Daniels does. Like, I think Jaden Daniels executed the game plan perfectly on Monday. But, like, in the long term, I still like Caleb. And if Jaden Daniels can continue it, I'll tip my cap. But I still will take Caleb, and I still am not fully sold on Jaden Daniels, the NFL star quarterback that people are putting on him after Monday's game.
I get what you're saying in Dynasty, but in redraft, what about in redraft?
I'm still the same way. I'd still take Caleb over Jaden Daniels, I think.
Wow. So then here's the next big one, and here's to you, Logan. We're going to throw one more quarterback.
But I would never make that move. I would never trade Jaden Daniels for Caleb in redraft. I would trade Jaden Daniels and try to shoot higher.
Okay.
Like, it'd be different. It'd be different.
Okay. So in redraft this year, though, right now, if someone – would you guys prefer Justin Fields or Caleb Williams?
In redraft?
Yeah, in redraft. For the reigning of this season.
It's getting close for me, Caleb. Not even close.
Interesting. Where are you at, Logan?
Same thing. Like, Justin
winning.
Justin Fields is in the same scenario where he's getting schemed up pretty well right now, but is he producing fantasy-wise? Like,
no, he's not. I have him on my team, and I'm starting Caleb Williams for the second straight week over him and doing it with confidence. Because Justin Fields isn't running, and he's throwing for 200 yards. He might throw a touchdown, sure, but, man, no. I'd take Caleb.
Okay.
Their defense is allowing 10 points a game or less.
Is that a good thing for a fantasy quarterback? Oh, you're talking about I thought you were talking about the Bears.
Mm. Well, I feel like – oh, God, Jesse, sorry.
Well, I mean, you just said did you say the Steelers aren't scoring more than 10 points a game?
Yeah.
So, you know, the Bears didn't score at all, right, on offense? Their first game. No, yeah. I'm playing. I'm just being a dick.
Yeah, it's a rookie quarterback versus the fourth-year player.
All right, let me get a closing statement out here, though, that Jaden Daniels plays the Browns in 2 weeks, and that's when we should see how his development throughout the season will look. And so I think we should end the podcast on that. We got the Seahawks for Daniel Jones. We got the Browns for Jaden Daniels. So
yeah, if he performs there, we might have a conversation. But until then,
where's the line for Caleb Williams? Wait, we're drawing all these lines for other quarterbacks. Wait, there's no line for Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams
right,
has
right,
had
that's
tough
right.
Games.
Because if it's Nick, this is Nick's podcast, maybe, and Caleb gets a pass.
Caleb's been good against good defenses and no run game. End of story. We will see you next week. You can follow him on Twitter, Jesse_Setzer. Follow him at Pro Talk Logan. Follow me at PT Nick 32. Until next time, Dino Talk.